Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Infinite Potential podcast. Today, we've got Morgan Evans. He's a former professional football player from Birmingham in the United Kingdom. He's appeared on MTV's X on the Beach and now resides in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil after his life has taken a different path. Morgan sold everything he owned and went travelling around the world. Morgan, thanks a lot for joining us.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, buddy.
Great, mate. Thanks for coming on. Mate, do you want to take us a little bit deeper into your journey from growing up into playing football and where you are today?
Yeah, no problem. So basically, I started off just like a boy next door. Was really good at football. And from the age of like 10 years old, was signed to Aston Villa and played there till I was 18 and did a bit of time at Liverpool. But during the whole time, even though I sort of had all the things that most young kids would want, it never really like satisfied me. I always felt like depressed. I always felt quite flat. I couldn't work out how this was possible when like I had pretty much everything everyone would want. But this basically led me later on in my life to go searching for self-enlightenment and knowledge. So and now literally I live in Brazil. I live a very relaxed lifestyle with not many possessions, and I'm the happiest I've ever been. I just want to come and share my story of how I came from sort of your typical Western society kid to obviously where I am now, and hopefully some of the journey can inspire people to go on their own self-enlightenment path.
Brilliant. Just going back to your childhood there, Morgan, when you mentioned depression, that's a rising problem, especially in the Western world. Can you tell us a little bit more about that, whether you feel you can trace it back to a certain element or?
Yeah, I mean, so basically, I never remember being super happy as a kid. I was always, like I said, quite flat. I mean, even if I scored a goal against Manchester United, I'd be happy for 2 minutes and I'd be like, oh, is that it? And then always in search of the next little chemical buzz I could get. And obviously, that led me, as I got a bit older, to get involved in drinking, drugs and all sorts of things. Do you know what I mean? And I just felt like I was never at peace. I never felt content. And I never felt like self-love. Do you know what I mean? And like I said, that's what's took me on this path that I want to share.
Brilliant.
Cool. Let's talk a little bit like where you are today. Obviously, you're living in Brazil. What took you from playing professional football to living in Brazil?
Okay, so I mean, it's a crazy story. So after football, I was heartbroken, like many lads are, I basically needed a plan B because I put all my eggs in one basket with that one. So luckily, my mum helped me go on a personal training course, got qualified, got my own gym in Birmingham after a year or so, and then had a very successful gym. Had all the trimmings of success, nice car, apartment in town, etc. But and then I went on television, etc. But after even through that, I was still battling with addiction problems and. After a really traumatic 2016, where I found my dad dead on the bathroom floor from alcohol addiction and my ex-girlfriend breaking up with me, I literally went travelling around Thailand for 1 month by myself. And that's when I was shown some unbelievable things and basically took my first psychedelics, and it changed my life forever.
So did you go to Thailand with the mission of sort of, for the lack of a better term, waking up? Or did you just go there because you'd sort of had enough and you were just running away sort of thing?
Oh, literally, I went there because I was distraught. Me and my ex-girlfriend, we broke up a couple of days before I was going to go travelling to Philippines with her. We booked the flight, everything. So it was a sort of a last minute get out of England and try and put the pieces back together. So there was no idea of spiritualism or anything like that. It was literally just drink myself into oblivion, try and get over my heartbreak and try and survive, man.
Yeah.
So what happened?
So literally, so basically, I think for 2 weeks I went a bit like crazy, drinking, partying, etc. And then it got to a point where I was on PP Island in Thailand, and then my body was in bits. Do you know what I mean? I think I'd spent one of the nights in hospital there as well, on a drip, because I drank too much alcohol. I mean, I was in a bad place. Like I said, I'd suffered with alcohol addiction my whole life. And I met this couple about 4 a.m. in the morning, and they were like, do you want to come to a really chilled, like, hippie island in Thailand just off PP called Koh Lanta? I mean, like, these guys were my angels, like, and they literally took me off this party island to this tranquil, beautiful place. And that's when I found a place called Freedom Bar, and it was like a real hippie bar, and they sold the mushroom shakes there, and that's when I had my first experience. And that's when my mind opened up, and literally I started my whole new journey of life from there.
Just tell us for a little bit about the experience you had when you was with your first psychedelic, when you ingested the mushrooms.
Okay, so basically I went there, and then on the night time, and it says on the bar, like, this is not a rehearsal. Make sure you're serious if you want to do this, which, I mean, like, they're not messing about, man. You're literally getting a rocket to space if you take these shakes. it's no small feat. I mean, I've jumped out of a plane, and it's that level. Only thing is, you're not doing it in a physical, you're doing it in your mind, which a lot of people is scary as well. But so I did it, and everything became like a billion HD, colours more vibrant. I had a real intuition on a lot of things. And it was almost like all this information just started flooding into my head. And I'm not going to lie, I felt like Albert Einstein for a period of time. I literally started looking around, and there was a few like negative people that were in my circle. And like, their faces would look kind of demonic, like when I was like looking at them, and I was like, ooh. So I'd like move away to like the sort of the people that were like illuminated and really like glowing, and they seemed like really warm and warm hearted and stuff. And I sat with them, and I'd start speaking to them for an hour or two. I mean, the conversations we were having were like something you get a Nobel Prize for, you know what I mean? It was special, man. And this girl that I was speaking to, she was like traveling. She was like at Cambridge University, and she was like, where are you coming out with this stuff? And I'm like, I have no idea, darling. It's these mushrooms, man. It was a great experience. And the best thing about it was, for the whole duration, I'd been drinking and smoking, obviously, really heavily. And when I did the mushrooms, I put the drink down, I put the cigarettes down. I didn't even think about having them. After my experience, I went and had food afterwards. I felt light, I felt fresh. I went to bed perfect. I woke up so happy. It was like, what the hell are why are these drugs not in my life, man?
Yeah. Again, in the Western world, like, that's kind of obviously frowned upon, the ingestion of mushrooms to have an enlightened experience. Whereas alcohol, cigarettes aren't. Well, obviously they're frowned upon, but obviously they're legal. So do you think that there's like a higher agenda behind the suppression of these?
1 billion percent. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. They're basically, there's a war on consciousness. There's whatever it is, whether it's spiritual forces or whether it's actual human beings, whatever it is, they're trying to keep the masses at a certain level of consciousness in fear and at a negative vibration. And alcohol and smoking play perfectly into this part of the mission.
Yeah.
Basically, alcohol, you're buzzing while you're drunk, and the next day you have these hangovers, you're scared, you're anxious. I mean, if you obviously slip into alcohol abuse, I mean, we all know the pitfalls with that. So these are brain-numbing drugs, and they're not good for you. Whereas the psychedelics, I mean, obviously, I don't think you could abuse them. I mean, I think you'd have to be insane to abuse them, do you know what I mean? Because they're serious things, but they make you more peaceful, more connected to your heart, a lot more understanding. And then also, like for me, like I said, it was the first time ever when I woke up that morning after I'd done my mushrooms where I felt genuinely happy, just normal, like ecstatic happy with nothing, in the first time in my life.
Yeah. What do you think that reason is? Do you feel like you'd had like a greater sense of connection to your true self?
Yeah, I feel like I was sort of living in an ego world, which is pushed upon most of us in the Western world to believe in material and possessions and the separation between human beings to believe in our own story and that it's like kill or be killed. And then the mushrooms took me back to a place of unity and oneness with the whole creation, animals, nature, people. And I just started feeling my heartbeat and it was just like, whoa. And then I can understand now why these would be kept out of the public domain, because if everybody is feeling like I felt then, there's going to be no wars, there's going to be no sort of damage in the environment, there's going to be just peace and love, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're definitely, I feel like Mother Earth is intelligent and she's basically given us these plants to help and heal the ones who have been abused by the system.
Brilliant. Yeah, there's a book called Sacred Mushroom and the Cross by John Allegro, and he links the mushroom to Christianity. So if you're interested.
Yeah, I'm a hugely spiritual person. I mean, on another level. I mean, I go to an evangelist church. I've got loads of Christian friends, loads of Muslim friends, loads of everyone. Do you know what I mean? But I 100% I believe Jesus' energy is here. I'm in contact with it a lot of the time, and I believe that in the Bible there were huge indications that they were using mushrooms and special teas to enhance the consciousness of the people. And I think it's been taken out of parts of the Bible as well and not filled in with alcohol, because we know damn well that alcohol is not part of a spiritual practice.
Yeah. Do you think that because obviously there is some wisdom that lies within a lot of world religions, do you think that that, again, has been used as a tool to kind of control people by manipulation?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, 100%. I'm sorry to cut you off. I had people are talking about it now as a Kundalini experience. So the day that I quit alcohol and smoking forever, I mean, I'm 4 months clean now of what I haven't had one drag, one sip of alcohol. And this is from someone who was drinking 2 bottles of wine, 8 cans of beer and 40 cigarettes a day for years. Do you know what I mean? I mean, this is miracle stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Fair play.
And this is about any sort of like rehabilitation or anything. This is just with me and my sort of my vow to God. Because once I did the psychedelics, I was opened up to a new world. But with the ancient religions, there's a snake depicted in all the ancient religions. Buddha's got the snakes coming off him, Shiva. Moses has got the snake, the serpent. Yeah. Now, I'm going to tell you this now, guys. When the day before I stopped my alcohol and smoking, it was the most traumatic day ever. I'd been drinking the day before and I was getting spiritually attacked. And literally, when I was closed my eyes, a huge snake, a serpent, came towards me and scared the life out of me and went over my head. It was like an electronic snake.
Yeah.
And literally, all my head started elevating. And then the next day, I didn't even desire alcohol or smoking or anything. And this is depicted in every ancient religion, this serpent. Now, what I can see from my experience is that this serpent is almost a demonic force, which is basically trying to kill. Okay, like the individual. Do you know what I mean? It's like there. We all suffer. A lot of us suffer with addictions. A lot of us suffer with negative behaviors. They're almost. It was almost like once that snake went past me, it was almost like I was freed of its grip.
Yeah, interesting.
So okay. I've heard theories of the serpent being bad. I've also heard the serpent being good.
Yeah.
What makes you think that? How have you linked the serpent to being bad in that situation? Because obviously you have the Kundalini awakening in the East, and that's based on the serpent going up the spine to your third eye, isn't it?
Yeah, well, let's clarify. I'm not saying it's definitely bad. I'm saying it's good and bad. So for me, so it's definitely good, because I've seen that serpent and the next day I'm free of the stuff that's crippled my family for generations. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's definitely good. I love that serpent. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But at the time it was happening, it was terrifying. And it's definitely, for me, what I can gather is it's a level of enlightenment that snake is a sign of. It's obviously hitting your seventh chakra, because all my body started like vibrating hugely. I mean, I felt like I was having the biggest orgasm of my life. But the things that had happened just before that were terrifying, almost basically saying, you better stop drinking or smoking or you'll be killed. And literally after that, like, everything changed, and I can't explain to you how happy and peaceful and stuff I am now. It's unbelievable. But the snake is huge, mate.
Yeah. I think that's why Al Collin is so big in the Western world, because I think it's, I don't know if you've heard of him, David Hawkins. He's written a few like brilliant books, and he basically says that alcohol, it temporarily raises your level of consciousness by removing those blocks to a higher being. So like the fear, the ego, that kind of thing.
Definitely 100%.
That's why it's so big. It's that's why it's so addictive, because it's getting you literally closer to God, or your subjective feeling of God.
You got to remember which God are you talking about? You know, what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So like, but if it's giving you a higher sense of being within yourself, it's kind of it then once you come off the effects of alcohol, it then lowers your level of consciousness, and I think that's why obviously so many people keep going back to it.
Yeah, you're absolutely spot on, mate. I love that, and it's the first time I've heard someone talk a bit in detail about that. So I was using alcohol, right, as a spiritual purpose before. Yeah. I wasn't going out partying, I wasn't going out raving or anything like that. I was literally, you can ask my girlfriend, I was sat on my balcony with a couple of bottles of drink, and I'd just literally look at the stars, and I mean, the stars were moving and all sorts of stuff. It was insane, and she'd come over to me after like two bottles of wine and 8 cans, and I didn't even slur my words. I was literally like stone cold sober. She said, your eyes changed. It was like there was a demonic force in there. But literally I wasn't like a bad person. I just literally just used to sit there for hours on end exploring my mind, because of, like you said, the fear was lifted from me because I was drunk, and I was able to sort of tap into another realm, let's say. But what I realized is I wouldn't recommend it.
No, because of the degenerative effects long term. I think that's why it's probably more widely accepted than obviously the things like marijuana and
Well, alcohol. The word alcohol, if you look at the etymology of it, it stands for alcohol, which comes from Arabic, and it means death eating spirit.
Yeah. But 100%, mate, 100%. It's it was like my father. Obviously, he was a really strong, powerful man, really good looking, and he'd been an alcoholic all his life. And mate, I just watched him deteriorate and go from this powerful king to literally like Gollum. Do you know what I mean? It sucked his soul, mate. Do you know what I mean? And it's like a beautiful woman. It's a mistress. Do you know what I mean? And it constantly calls you, and you keep going to it and going to it until it takes everything you've got, man. So you got to be careful with it.
Yeah,
you've mentioned like realms and things like that in the last few phrases. Do you believe in like stuff like celestial realms and different beings and whatever?
100%. I'm when I go into meditation, I can go into them now. I mean, I'm an avid meditator. I'm banging out an hour a day. I mean, I've got a really relaxed life, so I can focus on that. Which is another thing that brings me to the Matrix. It's there to design to constantly make you diverted and chasing the next thing, so that you can never be present in the moment to explore what is. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when I talk about the realms, there's like dimensions. Do you know what I mean? And there's like when I'm really, really deep in meditation, there's like a huge swirling energy particles all go around me, like protons.
Yeah.
And literally, like, my girlfriend could be in the room and she's like, whoa, I can feel a huge presence in this room. And literally, like, it's a really, really loving one. But it's almost like I know they're there, or there's something there, but I can't see it. Sometimes I'll get a vague outline of it, but that's about it.
Yeah.
So you'd say a spirit, like?
They're spirits, 100%.
Yeah.
What would you say, In the Western society in particular, that so many, not so much now, obviously, people are starting to wake up. But there's so much, because there's so much like fear-driven propaganda and all that, it's like people are so scared to go within themselves. Which I think it's because there is so much like suppressed emotion, and they just keep going for like the next high. Would you have any like advice from your experience that you'd give to like, I guess, like a younger version of yourself?
Yeah, 100%. So basically, there's two routes. You could probably, if you were really in a bad spot, I believe, and you're kind of on a really depressive state, I do believe them healing plants, if used properly, can be a real shortcut to get you on the right path to healing yourself and starting to awaken to the truth. But I think that's not for everyone. I think you can do it. When I went to the spiritual retreat in the jungle, I mean, they literally took away all alcohol, all smoking, all telephones, every single bit of like matrix, do you know what I mean, you could imagine. Yeah. And we just meditated like for sort of 14 days. They were all vegan food. It was really intense. But literally after about 5 days, I kind of like, it opened me up. So definitely my advice would be either try the plants, and or you can go into a level of isolation. Get yourself on like sort of vegan plant-based foods, lots and lots of water, lots and lots of meditation, maybe yoga, be in nature, be connected to nature. And tune back into yourself, because you're not, once we've got to this age now, guys, like 20, 30, 40, there's not a lot that you're going to learn outside of yourself. You've kind of been told everything that you're meant to know within the matrix. It's all now about going inside yourself and uncovering the jewels within inside yourself and making sense to them in this world that you've been given.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of people can get caught up in the intellect, and that can be like a big barrier to enlightenment in itself.
Big time. Yeah.
And then obviously, but it's only when you go deep within yourself that you find that the answers that will never be in books. So
yeah. Definitely, bro. Like, the Western world is constantly fixated on the left brain, the logical part of the brain, the computer processor. Whereas you find a lot of the Buddhist monks and a lot of the people in the East, they're more prevalent in the right brain. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, what it is if you're living in the West, you really should be trying to meditate on huge levels, yoga, pray, things like that, to try and shift more into the right hand side, because I believe if you confuse the two, you are one powerful force to be reckoned with. Because not only can you connect with the spiritual element of the world via the right brain and the connectiveness and the heart and everything like that, but you can also connect to the matrix, so you can help more people and you can bring people to a place of peace and love easier.
Yeah definitely. Yeah, I think like when you start looking into stuff like this, you go through like different stages. I think at first, like I've got a couple of friends who have just started on their own personal journeys, and they start to think that like the whole world's out to get them when they start looking at the matrix as a conspiracy theory. Yeah, it's all conspiracy theories and all this, and they think, you know, everything's out to get them. There's all these higher agendas, and although that might be the elite or whatever you want to call them, they're completely within their right to do so. It's everybody's. I mean, right and wrong, because
it's free will.
Yeah, free will is subjective, isn't it? So I think it's just all our own responsibility to take.
It is, man. We're only we can free ourselves.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Bob Marley says it, free yourselves from mental emancipation. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like you've been put via your own ignorance into a form of mental slavery if you are in depression, via biting the bait that they're feeding you. But also as well, we're not living in a prison cell. You can get the key and open it and walk free if you want. Yeah. Now, this is where the level of fear comes into most people. Most people have built their ego up so much. For example, they've got a good business, a good car, all these things that they think all their friends like them for, etc. When actually, they're never going to get to enlightenment with all them things attached to them. They need to go out traveling, or they need to go in isolation, or they need to do some radical changes. And that's why you've got to be fearless in this process.
Yeah. It's because those people who are like so wrapped up in their own egos, you think because they like strongly identify themselves so much with like things and don't have a sense of their true being, because they're just tying themselves up with material things and identify themselves with that.
Yeah. Well, they've fell into the trap of becoming a consumer, which is basically what society wants. That's your perfect citizen, is a consumer. Do you know what I mean? One that's sort of slightly anxious, a bit depressed, constantly craving, and like a lab rat. Do you know what I mean? And literally you're going to keep chasing the carrot that's dangled in front of you, and you fall into this materialism trap with possessions, and you have lots of stuff but actually no substance. And that's where a lot of people are, unfortunately. The thing is, though, what a lot of people think, and I used to think it, is that enlightenment is only for a few special beings. It's not. It's for everyone, no matter how intelligent or how not intelligent you are. You can find enlightenment if you choose. And I know from my own experience and having a lot of stuff that I have very little now, and I am the happiest I've ever been. And I wouldn't, it's like I'm a millionaire inside and no one knows it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
And it's good.
Yeah, I think that's a valid point to make about enlightenment. I mean, I've been doing since 2012, since I stopped playing football. That's been my main goal, really, is spiritual evolution, if you like, for the lack of a better term. And you get, well, I can only speak for myself, I get frustrated at times, and should I be going there for my own? Should I be doing this? Should I be doing that? And then I'm back into business again. And very often you can sort of just get caught up in the world as it, you know, all its perceptions and what you make of it, good and bad. And is that, should that be happening? Should not that not be happening? And I think sometimes you just got to take a step back and sort of let life flow through you rather than try and affect what's actually going on. Because I think that's one of the egoic traps, is trying to affect reality outside of yourself when it should be flowing through you.
Yeah, you should jump, ride the wave. Do you know what I mean? Be present and be in the moment. There's most people in the Western world, they're anxious. They're always thinking 10 steps ahead. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Because they're rewarded for that. Do you know what I mean? But actually the real path of bliss and of love is in the present moment. You hear Eckhart Tolle always talk about it, the power of now. Mm-hmm. And like you said, well, the Matrix constantly wants you to be diverted, constantly chasing. So you have to, I've got a friend who lives in São Paulo. He's one of the heads of Walmart in Brazil. He was the first person I met in Thailand who basically on New Year's Eve gave me, meditated with me on New Year's Eve in Koh Phangan full moon party. I mean, it was insane, but he lives in the Matrix, but he is hugely dedicated to his spiritual life. So he's the only person that I know, but I haven't met many, but that he's blending the two lives perfectly. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I was going to ask you about that, because I wondered if, like, you, I personally think that you can do it, like you can still follow a spiritual path and kind of, like, to use the frame, like being the Matrix, and not be at conflict with it. Maybe, like, so just be at peace with, like, the situation and just kind of move, just always move, always consciously moving more towards love instead of fear. Because I think sometimes, I think it's Tom Campbell who talks a lot about levels of consciousness and that kind of thing. He says sometimes it's better, instead of just taking a step back and, like, shaking your hand at the system or whatever, sometimes it's better to change it from the inside. And obviously you can just through change, just through the decisions you make every single day, that'll have a knock-on effect to the people around you, which you've probably noticed yourself.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like I said, I can't stress this enough, whoever's listening. I asked my friend, the one that's really successful, that lives in the Matrix and very powerful spiritual God, I said, what's one thing you would tell me that start changing life? He said, meditation. He said, there's no doubt. He said, if I ruled the world, everyone would have to meditate for 20 minutes a day. He said, because what it does, it brings you back to the present moment. It opens up pathways inside your right hand side of your brain. It connects you to your chest, to your heart. And you're very rarely going to find someone who's going to go and shoot up a school if they're meditating 20 minutes a day. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's also been a lot of things put into schools now for kids where they're getting them to meditate. I think that's an amazing thing. Because if we don't start putting things like that in place, we're going to have a society of mindless robots who are literally like 100 miles an hour, who are just fully egoic and have no connection to their heart or empathy. And that's going to be a very dangerous world to live in.
Yeah.
I mean, do you not think that all ego-driven reality is based upon separation?
Yeah, it is. That's how the dark forces work on this planet. They build the separation. Do you know what I mean? Race, colour, gender, sort of sexuality, things like that. But when I've hit moments of enlightenment and I felt the connectiveness between all people and the oneness of God, where literally I've like felt three birds go behind my head, turned, three birds have come, then literally something said, look over there, and literally I've looked and two guys have just put their hand up out of nowhere. I mean, I'm in a part of the world that I've never been to in my life, and literally I have them quite a lot now because I followed this path so intensely. But there's like parts where it's almost like you become a God self. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you're almost so in tune with everything, and so connected, and your third eye is so wide open that you're actually a version of God. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And obviously, so I don't believe that.
Because obviously, that means a lot to a lot of people. What is it to you?
So God is, how can I explain this so it makes sense to many people? God is the computer that we're in. Knows in every particle, in every single thing. It knows everything. Every particle is intelligent, talks to each other, knows every drop of rain, knows every single thought that you're having, I'm having, everything. It's the nervous system of the universe.
Nice. So it's infinite.
It's infinite, yeah. It's all, and it's you can't fathom it. Do you know what I mean? If we try to kind of
that
way is probably the best way I could describe it, in the sense that it's everything.
Yeah.
I mean, so you mentioned earlier a couple of questions ago. You mentioned that the dark forces work through separation.
Yeah.
If God is infinite, wouldn't he be the bad as well?
Well, this is the thing. When you look at a mathematical equation, you've got plus and negative. You've got light and darkness. In any sort of thing in this realm, there has to be a negative. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we can't shy away from that. And that's where a lot of people come and stuck, because they like to go, stay positive, rah, 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 rah. And then they aren't actually equipped for battle. And you have to be, like, you're not going to go to war in a physical sense, but you need to be mentally sharp and obviously awaken to it and to some things. Do you know what I mean? And there are dark spiritual forces that work among this world. Do you know what I mean? And you have to like try and be aware of them.
Yeah, I think Michael Tazarian says, for everybody that's truly in their center can never be manipulated.
Yeah.
It's a big one to take meditation. Once you get centered within yourself, then
you're aligned, you're working from a place of love. And always remember, guys, this is what no one knows. The dark forces are scared of us, the light. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. They're in fear of us. But if you're weak, for example, you're hungover or you're in a really bad place, or you've lost your job, or your girlfriend's broke up, you all these things which lower you and basically take down your shield of protection, that's when they can creep in and start terrorizing.
Would you say sometimes though that can be like I guess subjective, like the dark forces, because if there's, for example, maybe like there's pain in your life that you're kind of, or some kind of mental emotional pain that has been suppressed or repressed at some level, and then something big comes along because you haven't been listening to these signs to stimulate change. So then like something big might come along, so like your relationship breaks up and your life feels like shit, but then like obviously in your situation it forced you to go and make such a big change to turn your life around. So do you think that could be subjective, where
it's totally subjective. So basically I got to the point now where everything's happening for me. Do you know what I mean? Whether it's good or bad, it's always happening for me. But also we have to realize that I believe we all came to this planet with some defects. Do you know what I mean? Like I came with my addiction problems, and many people come with violence, and people come with like, I don't know, thieves, and people come with all these little karmic traits.
Yeah, if we came complete, there'd be no point, would there?
No, there's no point in being.
That's what there wouldn't be. We're almost like in a kind of a paddling pool of all the different worlds. Do you know what I mean? This is like kind of like where we're growing and learning and trying to evolve to become better. I mean, we'd be stupid not to think that when trees grow and evolve, and pretty much every living organism grows and evolves. And the problem with the materialistic view is you think you only grow in the body, when actually you grow in the consciousness and the spirit. And I believe once you die, you leave with an energy body. Do you know what I mean? That if you are clever enough to grow, then you can, if you do the right things in this life, for example, the meditation, the prayer, good deeds, like just being really eating good food and being healthy and exercising and living a life of love, you're going to grow this energy body.
Yeah, nice.
I think it's contribution to the greater good. I mean, you could put good God there if you like, but I mean, that's got so much dogma wrapped around it for most people. It's probably better to stay away from the word.
It's a tough one for me. We, like you said, we just have to come to that term that it's all, it's everything. You can call it the universe. Then the only thing that I can say, and I have to say this, is that Jesus' name has power, in the sense, like, I believe that it's the healing energy on this planet as well. And then obviously the whole of Brazil is very, very Jesus orientated, let's say.
It's got the Redeemer on the hill, ain't it, Rio?
It's got Jesus with his, this is another thing as well, this is crazy. So Jesus is arms out wide giving a big hug to the world in Rio de Janeiro, but yet in England he's on a crucifix. Now, would we not think that would be propaganda?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So the propaganda would be, don't go to Jesus because he's dead. Do you know what I mean? And everyone associates the symbol with death, when actually Jesus was that much love that he died for us. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's been turned upside down. You could say that's satanic in a way.
Yeah, 100%, man. That's what it is done. And it's like, and I think to myself, like, I've been down to favelas and like been to homeless shelters, and the amount of like miracles that Jesus' energy has like put people off like wheelchairs and they've started walking and turned, like for me, turned an addict into a completely fresh, clean, almost like Muslim type person that's happy. I know the psychedelics put me on the path, but it was Jesus who delivered me to the promised land with inside myself. There's no doubt about that. So his energy is definitely, if you can accept it into this world, it's there to help everyone, man.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about, it's religion again, and you go back, when you speak about Jesus, you go back to religion, and I think it's like it's so ritualistic and it's got so much dogma attached to religion again. When you say the word Jesus, now everybody automatically attaches that to religion, and I think
and I'm going to clarify on it, so I can clarify on it, because I was, like I said, I was never a church person. I didn't believe in God. I had I was awakened in Thailand, and obviously I ended up going to Australia and I ended up in Brazil. Now, for me, forget about Catholicism, forget about Christian, forget about all that. I would say that there are ascended masters on this planet. Okay? So you've got Buddha, right? These are paths. You've got Krishna, you've got Jesus, you've got Muhammad, right? Now, these are all, for me, paths to walk, because what I found in my journey, and everyone kept saying it to me, if you try and walk this path of self-enlightenment and you haven't got a playbook to work from, you're going to come unstuck. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the average person. So for example, I got awakened in Thailand. I still carried on drinking. Now all the people said to me that you cannot drink. If you're going all in with this spiritual stuff, you can't be drinking, or it has to play little or no part in your life. I'm like, nah, whatever. And mate, every time I drunk, I got absolutely terrorized, like clanging in the rooms, fucking, it was like I was getting shot arrows, like of like glass through my brain. Do you know what I mean? Like unbelievably terrifying stuff, like fearing for my life and that. So I believe that once you are awakened and once you actually want to help the world to awaken, then you are a target for the forces within this world that do not want people to be awakened and want to control the masses. So then you have to find protection and spiritual protection. And that's where I am with it now.
Okay, so you mentioned ascended masters there. I tend to agree with that. I've studied quite a lot of work to believe that they do exist, especially in Tibet. Is that where you were thinking?
Tibet. I mean, like I said, Buddha is for me, I obviously meditate every day, so I could never deny Buddha. Do you know what I mean? Because he's given me a tool and a way to live this beautiful life I live now. also Jesus has given me a beautiful idea of what real love is, which is self-sacrifice. Do you know what I mean? Like for love, which is what he did in the Bible, died for our sins, etc. And also there were Muhammad for me, he has obviously come, he has a lot of rules. Now a lot of the rules, some of them are extreme, but some of them are definitely true. Like for me, the alcohol one, is the, like it says, no drinking. If you do drink, then it's 40 days you won't be able to pray. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And I know that it's very strict, but actually the more I go into my spiritual practice, the more I'm like, whoa, a lot of his laws make a lot of sense. So I'm blending them all together, guys. Do you know what I mean? I'm like a new age kind of person, in the sense of like, I'm not saying that's right or this is wrong or anything like that. I'm going, right, we're in a beautiful place. Yeah, we're in a beautiful place now to have all this information given to us. Let's use it all together and let's come to our own truth. But let's not let this dogma around religion stop us from actually improving our knowledge with it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we were speaking to Peter Sage a few weeks ago, weren't we? He's like a business leader in Great Britain. And he said that within 30, 40 years, he thinks religion all have been stamped out and it won't be needed anymore because it was like a tool to be used and people have sort of outgrown religion. So I think you probably hit the nail on the head, mate, to be honest.
Yeah, we just got, for me, we just got to be careful as to like who reels in the new religion, because there's always going to be some forces that are going to want everyone to sort of believe the same thing. Do you know what I mean? I mean, for me, all I only battle on about Jesus because it's he saved me. Do you know what I mean? And that's all it is. And just for anyone that does want to know, that's I hope that can help. But that's separate. Everyone's different. But we just got to be careful with the control aspect of everything again. Do you know what I mean? So they don't like, I mean, you hear about all this propaganda, don't you? Like New World Order and all that. And like you're like, it's you have to be careful with it all, man.
I know, but I mean, I'll go back to the point. If what people perceive as God is infinite, it is absolutely everything. So the darkness you have to embrace. It's part of what we are. It's the shadow within ourselves. Like Carl Jung, I don't know if you know Carl Jung, the psychologist from the 30s, 40s. He said, you need to embrace the shadow. The shadow is a part of you. Don't run away from it. And I think ayahuasca, I can speak about ayahuasca, that just throws the shadow in front of you and you've got no choice but to face it up.
Yeah, 100%, man. It's you have to make peace with your shadow. You have to almost, the way to enlightenment is not to run from the shadow, it's to turn back, hug it, say, you know what, yeah, like we're cool, but we're done now. You know what I mean? And you have to go through that in the spiritual enlightenment process, and it's very, very scary because you realise that everything that's been terrible in your life is you've created in an essence. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that lives within you, and we have to grow our light and not our darkness in this life. And it's so, I mean, I get so passionate about it because it's so important. I don't understand like why this isn't the forefront of everyone's life. Do you know what I mean?
The passion's there because it's real, mate. You've sort of removed away from what isn't real.
Yeah,
definitely.
Like people try and get more and more towards something when in reality you need to remove everything and then whatever's left is real.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, literally for me, if you can't stay in a small room with a window overlooking beautiful nature for a long period of time in silence, there's something seriously wrong.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like that's for everybody. Well, for me, we're 99.9% DNA compatible. And we obviously all have our own individual tests and obviously we look a bit different, etc. But that, for me, is a fundamental level of a human. So, example, a monkey can climb trees. A human should be able to sit there cross-legged, in silence, happy, content, joyful, in nature for huge amounts of time.
Yeah, I agree. So what's next for you then? Can you see yourself or are you just waiting to see what comes along? Obviously, happy living the dream out there. Can you ever see a future back in the West anyway?
Yeah. So basically, at the moment, like I'm in a great environment to build on my spiritualism stuff because, I mean, this country is spiritual on another level. So I'm meeting some great people who are teaching me many things. And this is all it's a really powerful energy field in Brazil. I mean, if you are a spiritual person, you step off the plane, you're like, whoa, the vibration is just different. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And the nature is huge. So I'm learning loads here, but I definitely want to come back and help. I mean, I say enlighten people, help put people on the path. Do you know what I mean? I feel like I've been given a gift of speech in the sense of like to pierce the consciousness. Yeah. I know before I left to go to Brazil, I spoke to a few people and they're now fully on the path of enlightenment. And I've got one girl who's literally, she's fully there. And she was depressed and almost like on the verge of suicide when I first met her. So there's definitely a huge level of healing to be done in England, which I know I want to be a part of in the future.
But what are you doing out there now? Are you doing any work at all?
So basically, I was personal training, wasn't I, in England. So I do some classes here in the morning. I do personal training in the condominium I live in on the night time. So it just gets enough to get by. I do work with in the favela with all like the young kids and that, like teaching them football. So I'm doing like sort of charity work with that. And I'm going to, I'm a part of the church now as well. Like, I mean, just basically because it's a great place to meet like-minded individuals for me, because this is another thing as well. It's like, you guys are lucky you've got each other. Do you know what I mean? And hopefully a lot of your friends are in a similar mindset. But I just know for a lot of young people out there or people listening to this, they might be very gifted spiritually, but they're not in the right environment to grow this. Do you know what I mean? And going to like sort of spiritual places, retreats, yoga, meditation groups, church, mosques, whatever. Like, you can be around like-minded people. And the dogma is that these people are, what I say is right and what you say is wrong. It's completely wrong, because these people are actually more connected to their heart a lot of the time. Do you know what I mean? They've took this path. So I think there's, you can always grow on your knowledge in every single sort of spiritual place.
Yeah.
I agree with you, mate, 100%. That was a fantastic interview. Thanks a lot for your time.
Yeah,
the problems have been great speaking to you. I'm really proud of what you guys are doing. It's a breath of fresh air, and I wish you nothing but the best.
Cheers, buddy. Thank you.
Cheers, thanks a lot for that, mate. Where can people find you and what you're up to?
So basically, on Instagram, my name is Morgan Evans 88, and I do a lot of videos on there and stuff like that. And also I do like sort of one-to-one work with people that want to sort of go on the enlightenment process with, like, I do detox plans, which I learned in the jungle in Brazil, and just sort of like new concepts and ideas for people to sort of put them on that path. Just the Instagram at the moment. I'm going to start doing some YouTube videos. Just try and get myself out there and hopefully do a few more podcasts and that, because I really enjoyed today and it's been great.
Nice one. Cool. Us too.
When you come to the UK, mate, drop us a line and we'll catch up. We're not far away, are we? So
100%, man. Literally, I think I'll be back sort of in a couple of months to see my mum. So we'll be in contact, and we'll mull over a nice cup of tea or something.
Not over a beer now.
You can, I'll be all right.
Top man. Thanks to you, Tom Bree.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, pal. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye.